Yeah, a couple of mornings. So I knew I wouldn't get off lightly with wearing a suit. Not normally you see me like this, but cherish it while you can. Suits me, thanks there. Those notices. Little Tyler. How old is Tyler? 10? 10 years old? Reese, the older one. Yeah, 10 or 11. Swimming a mile as a little lad. Sponsor him. Get behind him, and it's going towards the church building. It's good when our kids, rather than think about their Xbox or their whatever, football, whatever, they actually take time to do something for somebody else or a project. So that's really, really good. So it should be encouraged. So encourage him with that. And also, with Guatemala, again, what a fantastic work. Support them if you can. If you don't get their emails, then Gordon or me will gladly give you their email and keep you up to date with them, because they're somebody else who've given up of themselves to go to Guatemala, given up the comfort of home, to help 300 kids plus mums plus dads as well. And they give up their time, and they live in a place that has the highest crime rate, or is it the highest, the biggest gun crime in the whole world. So they're there, giving up their time. So that's to be honoured. So we're going to look at the book of Acts. Last time I spoke about the beginning of the church, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and came in authority and power, tongues of flame landed on their heads, and they went out and they preached, and there was power and authority, and things changed. 3,000 people became Christians that day. They were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter, what should we do? Be baptized, repent and be baptized. So last time we looked a bit about repentance and about being baptized, which is their dedication to Jesus Christ. And just as another notice, I have talked to a few people about baptism, but we're actually thinking of doing it on Easter Sunday, the day when we remember that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, some of the people I've talked to want to do it in the lake in April, which will be pretty chilly. But if you want to do that, if you want to declare, I think it would be a great day to do it. It'd be a lot of tourists about if it's a nice day, and that's on the side. So if you want to, I know I've already talked to a few people, but being baptized is your declaration that you belong to God, and you have identified yourself with him in your death, your burial, and resurrection. So we can discuss that. You don't have to get baptized in the lake, but we can discuss that. So I would like to read quite a long bit of scripture from Acts chapter 3 and 4. So we're going to go through it. Tom and Toby at the back. Another couple of young fellas. They look pretty young, don't you? How old are you again? 14 and 12. Look at the smiling faces. I asked them to give it a go, and they said yes. Enthusiasm was brilliant. So if they get it wrong up there, you can just follow what I'm saying. But we like when people are enthusiastic and say, yeah, we're going to go for it, like Reese and like Tom and Toby. So Acts chapter 3, should we see if the first verse comes up, and then we can... Acts chapter 3. I know that's not on what I gave you. Can we get Acts chapter 3? And if we can't, it's okay. So I'll start, and if they catch up, that's fine. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing their eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which was called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us? Are those by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him and has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in all ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' Yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many of us spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all families of the earth will be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from your iniquities." Now as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on him and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and a number of men came about to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing among them, they could say nothing against. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed there is a notable miracle that is done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, in whom the miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all to the chief priests and the elders and said to them, So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, you who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through your name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that they were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one, anyone who had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We thank God for his word. Well, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. May it penetrate our heart this evening. I pray, Lord, that you be lifted up and glorified, that we will find the truth of your word. And by your Holy Spirit, it will enter into our heart. Lord, you will revive us. You will bring us life like they had on the day of Pentecost and in the New Testament. Lord, that we will walk in your ways and your truth. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ against anything that would seek to hinder or to pervert your word to go from this place. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will reside here. And Lord, teach us your ways. May we go in your power. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for his word. God's word is good. It cuts to the heart. And as you read these things, as you read about the word of God, you see that in the New Testament, there was powerful things happened. On the day of Pentecost, the Word of God came down. And the Holy Spirit came down and filled the disciples with power. God filled the disciples with himself. And immediately, like I said, there was 3,000 came to Christ. 3,000 came to Christ and they baptized them. And then as they went out, so this was the beginning of the church that God had been talking about for a long time, where Jesus had died and he rose again and he'd spent 40 days with the disciples and he'd been taken back up to heaven and he said, wait. And the disciples waited until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then Peter went out to preach. 3,000 came to the Lord. And then the next thing that happens that Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And if we could go to John 3, verse 6, if you can find it. But they went up to the temple to pray. They went two by two. As Jesus had sent them out two by two, Peter and John had went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, led by the Spirit, and they came across a man, 40 years old, who'd been crippled, and his ankles had not received strength. So, Acts 3, verse... did I say John 3? Oh, sorry. My fault that time. So Acts 3 and verse 6. There we go. You got an Irishman in the pulpit. So things are bound to go wrong sometime. Sorry? Okay, yeah. Says the Liverpool fan. So then John said, so they came up and they saw this man who had asked for money. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Is that not amazing? There is a man who's been crippled, and everybody that would have gone to the temple day in, day out, or week in, week out, would have seen this man sitting, crippled, begging for alms, or begging for money. And a lot of people would have given him money, and he would have gone there. And Peter and John, so at the beginning of the church, Peter and John, so these are basically the leaders of the church, had no money. They didn't have anything. They'd spent their life with Jesus. They had no money. "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." So they didn't have anything physically to give them, but they had the power of the Holy Spirit living within them, and they said, "Rise up and walk." And isn't it good that the same Spirit that was in them lives in us today? Isn't that fantastic? That when you hear a story like that, that God can do the same today as he did back then. It's actually a promise from God that the same Spirit that actually raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus' body being dead for 3 days, and the Spirit, and I said God brought him back to life, and the same Spirit lives within us. So we heard a story tonight where Sandra prayed for her daughter, and she was made well. In fact, last week we prayed for Karen. And we pray she had what, neck?
I was going to tell the story tonight, but I'll wait next week.
Do you want to?
Just as you got up, my arms started tingling again. So, yeah, I suffer with terrible neck problems. I've had that for years and years and years. And since I put a lot of weight on, I have a terrible pain in my knees as well. And Malcolm and who?
Graham. I'm not the only one with a bad memory.
So, I just asked them, Malcolm and Percy and Graham stood up and said, they would pray for each one of us in this house group. And I said, "Would you pray for my neck and my knees?" And they laid hands on me. This is the first time in my whole life I've ever had that happen. It was absolutely incredible. I had my hands here, I closed my eyes. As soon as they touched me, I could feel tingling coming down my arms. It was so powerful and strong. And the light in my eyes was golden and absolutely beautiful. And I walked out of there high as a couch, didn't I?
I had to hold it down.
And ever since, thank the Lord, I've no neck pain. My knees are a lot better. I've got a little bit in my knees.
Hallelujah. Is that not good? So the same Spirit that lived in the apostles resides within us. And as we take these steps of faith to pray and to lay hands on people, that God can work. He can heal. I was reading this afternoon a story of Marvin Andrews. Does anybody know who he is? Nobody. Anybody that likes football? No? Okay. All right. So anyway, Marvin Andrews. So he used to play for Raith Rovers, and he had this injury, this swelling in his pelvis that he couldn't play football. And his pastor prayed for him, and he got well, and he was able to play again. And he was able to play so well that Rangers signed him. So he played for Rangers for a few years, and he basically done his knee in. And because of his faith, because he'd been healed before, he said, "I'm just When the surgeon said, come and get an operation, he said, no, I believe God's going to heal me. And he actually went out and played without the operation and continued to play for Rangers at the top level of Scottish football when they were in the Premiership before all that happened with Rangers. So healings do happen when we have faith, when we trust in God, when His Holy Spirit dwells within us. So the same Spirit, so Peter and John, they said, rise in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the most important bit. It is not any power or strength of our own. Like Peter and John, they were always, when Jesus was with them, they were always getting it wrong, weren't they? Like Peter was shooting his mouth off. He even denied that he knew Jesus. So this was like 40 odd days before this happened, and yet God used this loudmouth, bit of an idiot, to be used by God. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was able to be used. Does that make you feel good? That somebody can use an ordinary fisherman who makes mistakes, who forgets people's names, who gets verses muddled up. You know, God uses ordinary people to do mighty works. In fact, people who think they're better than others, those who God didn't use. Now, if we move on to verse 12, it says, so when Peter saw it, he responded. So the people were coming to Peter and John to almost like say, these guys are amazing. So he said, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us? As though by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk. So he gave the glory back to God. He said, it's no power of our own. It's the power of Jesus Christ. And you know, when we pray for things in the name of Jesus Christ, they happen. Things happen with the power in the name of Jesus Christ. No power of our own. Any old fool can use the name of Jesus, and there's power in it. An Irishman, a Scottishman, a Welshman, he even uses Cumbrians. Did you know that? Hallelujah, that takes some power, doesn't it? But he can use a Cumbrian. Those who believe and are filled with his Holy Spirit, God can use to do mighty things. These were ordinary people. Peter and John, ordinary people whom God used. And this is what he goes on to say. Verse 14, it says, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life. I like that phrase about Jesus. Jesus, the Prince of Life. Do you know, everything that Jesus said pointed to himself. All the other great religious leaders said, look to God, or this is the way to God, or that's the way you get healed. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread. I am the door. You know, I am the true vine. Jesus pointed to himself, and Peter picks this up to say that the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ, all true spiritual life comes through Jesus Christ. All true spiritual life comes through Jesus Christ. And we receive that life by accepting him. If we have Jesus, we have life. Life now and life eternal. But if we don't have Jesus, we do not have life. And it says later on in verse 23, and it said, it shall be that every soul that does not hear that prophet, Jesus, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. If we choose Jesus, we have life. If we don't choose Jesus, we will be utterly destroyed in a place that Jesus explained as hell. So we have a choice. God gives us a choice. We choose Jesus. We have life, and we have life more abundantly. We don't choose him. We shall be utterly destroyed. Now, Jesus gave us this message as a warning, and because he loves us, he wants us all to come into his kingdom. He wants us all to have that life, because when he was on earth, when he was saying, I am the way, the truth, and life, he was saying, come to me. It was like, come to me. I have life. Have life in me. Because I know from personal experience, whenever I've gone out into this world to search for what the world calls life, for the momentary highs, the drinking, the gambling, the sexual sins, the whatever the world throws at you or entices you into, actually brings death. It brings momentary highs that lead to death. But Jesus said, in me you have life. You have life. And this is what Peter and John did. When they were on earth, they saw a man who was crippled, and they say, silver and gold have I none, but this I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And his joints went back into place, and he was brought life. And what did he do then? He went walking and leaping and praising God. There's a song about that. I'll not get Mother started. Where is she? She's not here tonight. All right. Sorry? She's at Barna Castle. So what this guy did, he went leaping and dancing and praising God. If you've been crippled for decades and you were able to walk, what would you do? You'd do the same, wouldn't you? You'd walk and leap. You'd be so happy. Just like you lot tonight. Tell your faces. So he obviously wasn't Cumbrian. But we have I'm just joking about that, but we, because there's a lot of Cumbrians in here. Right. But we can, in the same way, we can thank God, we can leap and dance in this church if we want to. Feel free to run up and down, to leap and dance, or if God puts it on your heart, kneel before him, or get down on your face. God has given us the freedom to do that. Just so they killed the Prince of Life. If we move on to verse 19, I'm going to read a couple of verses before it, but if we look at verse 19, yet now, brethren, I know that you did this in ignorance. So Peter is talking to the Jews who hadn't accepted Jesus. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. He says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I think just that verse, if it was to sum up what I want to say tonight, verse 19, Acts 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Like I was saying last time I spoke, the first thing that Peter says was repent, to have a change of mind. And when your mind changes, your whole attitude would change. So it's repent that and be converted. Come unto God. So you've been going away. Your mind has been going away from God. Your attitude's been going away from God. Repent. Come back to God, that your sins may be blotted out, so that when you come to Jesus, all those things that hold us back from God get blotted out, get washed clean. And that, so that the times of refreshing may come. So you repent, you convert to God, that the times of refreshing. When you come to God, you come to a place of rest, a place of refreshing, a place of restoration. Is that not true? You come to a place of refreshing. Because in our own strength, we try and earn our way to God again and again and again. Am I good enough? And we struggle to keep all the rules. And we keep going, and it's a burden upon us. The law was a burden to the Jews. And Jesus had said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that you may have a time of refreshing. Who likes a time of refreshing? When you've been at work and you come home and you're able to sit and relax, that's what salvation is. It's a place of rest where Jesus has done it all on the cross and you do nothing except receive his refreshing and his rest. Because he's done it all. First of all, repent. Stop doing what you're doing. This is what God's saying to us over and over again through the Old Testament, and we're finding out here in the New Testament. Repent. Change your mind. Trust in Jesus. that your sins be completely washed away, that you can come into a right relationship with God, that you can receive that love from God that everybody is looking for. Everybody's searching for love. That's why people go out in the world and try and find that excitement or try and find that relationship that doesn't satisfy, but you find it in Jesus Christ. It is not found at the bottom of an alcohol bottle. It is not found in drugs. It is not found in human relationships, but it is found in Jesus Christ, and you find this refreshing. Your soul is refreshed. You know, for those who know God, you're most refreshed when you're just in His presence. And it says here, from the presence of the Lord. When you're in God, nothing else matters, does it? And you can do this anywhere you want. Or when you come to church, there's something special about church when you worship. And it's like everything else just goes behind, and it's just you and God, and you're in His presence, and that refreshing comes to your soul. This is what God gives. A refreshing for the soul. Jesus gives us all that we need. If we move on to Acts 4, and we're looking mainly at verse 11 and 12, but I'm going to read the couple of verses before that. So in the meantime, Peter's been dragged before the Sanhedrin. So the religious leaders of the day had actually, they'd witnessed that a man had been healed, but yet they still wanted to control. They still wanted to stop people that were actually seeing God move. And Peter addresses them. He said, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole.'" So talking about Jesus in verse 11, it says, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved." So he was saying to the Jews, this is the cornerstone of the church, of life, which you have rejected, because they had rejected Jesus. They'd handed him over to be killed. And it says, "There is salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved." So Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Again and again we speak this truth. Because in the world, it says, there's kind of this attitude, there's many roads to God. You know, by doing good, if it's your choice, you can follow, you know, this prophet or that prophet or whoever, or, you know, just by being a good person. But it is clear from here, from the very start of the church, that there's no other name by which you shall be saved except through Jesus Christ. Even Jesus said himself, that I am the door. There's only one way, and it's through Him. Every other way is a lie. By nature, truth is very, very narrow. Truth is narrow. This is a chair. I could call it a chicken, and it's not a chicken. I could call it a porcupine. It's definitely not a porcupine. I could call it a table, which would be closer to the truth, but it's still not a trailer. It is truth. By nature is narrow, and Jesus said he was the truth. There is one way through him. There is no other name by which you shall be saved except through Jesus Christ. So again, tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, he is your way to salvation. He is your way to heaven. He is your way to life here on earth. There is no other name by which you can be saved. Not by being a good person, because there is none good. There is none righteous. Nobody in here is perfect, but through Jesus Christ we have found salvation. There is no other way. It does not come through Muhammad. It does not come through Buddha. It does not come through the Hindu gods. It is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He has given you tonight. If you are hearing this message tonight and you reject it, like I said before, you should be cast out. But God has given you a chance through Jesus Christ alone that your salvation can come. What a gift. What a gift. We should say hallelujah. Is that not right? We're allowed to say that in church. If you say it out in the street, they might think you're a bit balmy. But we can say it here. Hallelujah. It's good. God is good. He has provided this way of salvation. And you can see from the very beginning of the church, this was their message. And there is no other message except through Jesus Christ. And he used ordinary people like us who have made mistakes, who have mucked up. You might think, well, I'm not perfect enough. But God can use you. God can use you to do his work. God had trained these ordinary men over a period of 3 years, and then the Holy Spirit had come upon them and they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know, I can't remember what the verse is now, but it says they were in one accord. They were together in unity. In fact, when the day of Pentecost came, it says they were there and they were one accord. And that is so important for the Holy Spirit to work within a church. If you have angst with somebody, you're not in the Holy Spirit. If you're out of tune, it's likely that God needs to do a work within you to bring you back into fellowship. We can't control what everybody else does, but we can control what our attitude is like. Can we not? It says they were in one accord, and they went out, Peter and John, and you know, in the name of Jesus, somebody walked. And then, and as we're going to find out in the rest of the book of Acts, so it's the Acts of the Apostle. Lots of things happened. Lots of amazing things happened. And my encouragement is to you is that, you know, it says in Romans 12 that God has given us each one a measure of faith. And as we exercise that faith to go out and to witness and to pray and to see God move, you know, as God gave more to the servant who had 5 talents, he'll give more to you, and your faith will grow. And as you see God grow, your level of faith might be praying for one friend, and you see them come to Christ. Your level of faith might be praying that, you know, you get a job. That might be it. But God gives us each a measure of faith. These apostles had seen God work, and they were seeing people healed. And then seeing the dead raised, God was amazing in their life. There is no other name by which you can be saved. The first and most important thing before healing is the salvation of your soul. And like I said before, it's only through Jesus, one way. And that's what we preach again and again and again, so that you will know that God has given you an opportunity. God is speaking to you tonight. If you do not know Jesus, you need to come into this salvation. This is the truth. So just looking further on, Acts 4, verse 18. So they called them, this is the religious leaders, they called them and commanded them not to speak, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. But for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishment. And again, you don't have to put this up on the screen, but again, as in chapter 5, when he was speaking to the religious leaders again, Peter said, and the other apostles answered, saying, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus Christ, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. So this was the word was put within them, and they were going to get it out. You know, they were going to give it. They were going to no matter. And you notice as we follow through Acts that nothing would stop them from preaching the word of God. If one way stopped, they would go another way. If they got restricted one place, they would go out. Even when the threat of death came across, they still preached. And they were preaching in prison. They were singing hymns in prison. God did amazing things. Nothing stopped them from the word of God. In this country, is there any major restriction stopping us? Not yet. But at the moment, we have a relative freedom to go out and preach God's word. Do we do that? A little bit? To our friends? Should we be bold? Because in this passage that we read, even Peter, who had seen Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he prayed for boldness. The book of Proverbs says that the unrighteous flee when no one pursues, but the righteous, and we are righteous in Jesus Christ, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Are you as bold as a lion? Or bold as a mouse? Sometimes I feel them as bold as a lion. Sometimes I feel them as bold as a mouse. But we, the righteous, so if we have been made righteous by Jesus Christ, not by any work of our own, we've been made righteous, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now just try, have you got a good roar? A little one. Should we try our roars to the person next to us? Right. The righteous are as bold as a lion. So Peter called for boldness and he went out and preached the word of God. Now I remember when I spoke at the bandstand in Penrith, your heart flutters. It's like you're having palpitations, but God gives you that strength to step out. And like I said, each one has been given a measure of faith. It might be the boldness to speak to your friend and saying, look, I believe that the way you're going, the way in this world is a way of destruction. And you can say it as gently as you like. I get my words muddled up and wrong all the time. You might have a better way of speaking one-on-one and say, the way that you're going is leading to destruction, but the way of Jesus Christ, you can have life. You could say, there's a million different ways to say it. And each one of us has been given a different personality to say it in a different way. But if we have that boldness to step out, and it's not easy. It's not easy. You need boldness, but God gave them boldness. Peter, who just over 40 days before, so he's denied Christ three times. And here he's spoken in front of at least 3,000 people. And now he's speaking before the Sanhedrin. And he's speaking before the religious leaders who could have him killed. And he's speaking out boldly. He's using that big mouth of his to honor God. Do we get that? Does anybody have a loud mouth at the right time? Or sometimes? Yes, we can use it. We can use it. So he prayed for boldness. Acts 4:23. And they prayed. But at the end of the Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. I've not experienced that, but, God shook the building. It was shaken. A move of God. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They went out with boldness. They were not shy. God has not called us to be timid, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. A sound mind and love, but power. God has given us that power. And I believe that as we exercise our faith, and in the Holy Ghost, that God will see things. God will let you see things happen, that people will come to Christ. This is our task. We have one commission, to make disciples of all nations. And I know I repeat it over and over. It's just to get it embedded within us. Take the next step of faith. Speak to somebody. Do something bold. I've spoken in front of thousands of young people and shared the gospel. But when I go into an assembly where you're restricted in what you've got to say, and you've got all these teachers around, it's difficult. It's not easy, and you have to kind of get the point across in a way. But you can find ways of doing this. This week, I did an assembly every day in Ullswater School, one with each year group, and I just thought of an inventive way of getting people's attention. So I squirted all the pupils and the teachers with a water pistol, and that kind of got things going. So it got everybody paying attention. And then we got round to the point that Jesus is the way. We had to do that in 10 minutes every day. So we had to grab their attention, get the point across, and affirm it. And the point at the end was that Jesus is the way. That was it. That's what we wanted to get to. We had to do it carefully. And we did. Hallelujah. We pointed in the right direction. And we got to squirt teachers with water pistols, which was extremely pleasing. So, would the teachers in here have enjoyed that? No. So, I think I've spoken enough. Let's just pray together. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that works in all who believe. I pray, Lord, that we will realize who we are in you. That we will realize what is possible in your name. I pray that we will realize the power of your blood to cleanse all our sins away, to blot out every iniquity, transgression, sin. I pray that you will raise up a generation here that will be bold for your name, that will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you raise up people who will go out and take this nation and other nations for you in your power and in your strength. And I pray for anybody here tonight who does not know you, that they will realize that you are the only way, you are the truth, you are the only name under heaven by which man can be saved. I pray you impress it upon their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.